राधे राधे गोविंद गोविंद राधे
राधे राधे गोविंद गोविंद राधे
राधे राधे गोविंद गोविंद राधे
राधे राधे गोविंद गोविंद राधे।
जय
Thank you.
Tam, that, Buddhism Yoga, Revival of Consciousness, Labhate, Gains, Purva Dedikam,
from the previous body,
Yatate,
he endeavors,
Cha, also.
Tata,
thereafter.
Bhuya,
again.
Samsidu,
for perfection.
Kuru Nandana,
O son of Kuru.
O son of Kuru.
Translation purport by Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. On taking such a birth, he revives the divine consciousness of his previous life. And he again tries to make further progress in order to achieve complete success, O son of Kuru. King Bharat, who took his third birth in the family of a good Brahmana, is an example of good birth for the revival of previous transcendental consciousness. King Bharat was an emperor of the world, and since his time, this planet has been known among the demigods as Bharatvarsha. Formerly, it was known as Ilavritavarsha. The emperor at an early age retired for spiritual perfection but failed to achieve success. In his next life, he took birth in the family of a good Brahmana and was known as Jat Bharat. Because he always remained secluded and he did not talk to anyone, and later on was discovered as the greatest transcendentalist by King Rahugana. From his life it is understood that transcendental endeavors or the practice of yoga never go in vain. By the grace of the Lord, transcendentalists get repeated opportunity to complete perfection in Krishna consciousness. Om Jnana Trimadantasya Jnana Jana Salakaya Chakshusmutam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Namo Mahavedanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Name Gaura Kavishya Namaha Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vedrecha Patitana Bhavanityo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Sadasati Gopatta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in this section, Lord Krishna is explaining that even if one is unsuccessful in his practice of bhakti yoga, whatever he does as an offering in bhakti yoga is never diminished in his power or potency. Krishna says, whatever endeavor you do, it is never lost. There is no loss or diminution in this process of bhakti yoga. So, sometimes, if we are unfortunate, that due to some unfortunate circumstances, we may fall down from our position. So, Krishna consciousness doesn't condemn that. Krishna consciousness actually is more compassionate towards these living entities who are in fallen state and gives us a second chance. Even in this physical but present life, suppose someone comes to Krishna consciousness and is very nicely performing bhakti yoga, is indulging himself in wonderful activities of Krishna consciousness, and somehow due to some bad association or some ill desires in the heart, he falls down. Still, that person is not condemned, because Krishna says that whatever you do as an offering is accepted by the Supreme Lord and he is not lost. Prabhupada explains that this is like putting your funds in the bank. If you put in the saving accounts, it accumulates. But if it is in a current account, it may go up and down, because current account means that you will regularly use that for making payments and spending in different items. So you withdraw money and you deposit money. The saving means you are saving it. But again, saving in the material sense, it can be withdrawn. But Krishna consciousness is a transcendental bank. Krishna consciousness is a transcendental bank where when we perform devotional acts in love and loving exchange and in service to the Lord, it all accumulates as bhakti points in your bhakti bank. And Krishna gives an account of all these points. And as sooner or later, these bhakti points are building up as we are increasing our devotional service and engaging in Krishna consciousness, up to the point when the bank is full. At that point, Krishna allows us to enter the spiritual world. Nonetheless, Krishna says that if by some chance you have fallen down, then you do not lose the credit. The credit is still there. But at some later stage, you can revive that credit. So we see in our present situation that some devotees who were very enthusiastic, they came to Krishna consciousness and they were engaged very nicely in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. And later on, due to some misfortune, they left the practice of Krishna consciousness. And after maybe 10, 15, 20 years later, they come back. They come back and they are welcomed again to begin the process of Krishna consciousness. But this time they are not beginning from zero. They are actually continuing from where they left off. This is the kindness of Sri Krishna. Although sometimes we, in our neophyte and immature state, if we see a fallen devotee who has come back, we look down upon that person. We say, oh, he is fallen. He may be fallen, but he is the most fortunate because he regained his consciousness and he came back to Krishna. That is greatness. And Prabhupada is always very, very desirous to see living entities come to Krishna consciousness. It is very pleasing to the spiritual master when he sees the living entity come back to Krishna consciousness and pursue their goal of being free from this cycle of birth and death. So in this purpose, Prabhupada is citing the example of Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj, as we know from Srimad Bhagavatam, that he was a great emperor. He was not just a king of a kingdom, but an emperor of the entire planet Earth. And because he had complete control over the whole planet, and he was properly trained how to take care of his citizens and the welfare of the citizens, he perfected his kingdom. And everybody in his kingdom was quite happy in executing their day-to-day activities and making progress in devotional life. But being a learner in the science of Krishna consciousness, Bharat Maharaj knew very well that he has to give up even these activities simply to be fully focused in Krishna consciousness. So he showed by his own example that even if you are in such a great powerful position and position of responsibility, it is your duty to pass on that responsibility to the next generation and free yourself from management so that you can utilize your time for the service of Krishna consciousness. So Bharat Maharaj, as a great emperor, he retired from his kingly duties and he went to the forest. In the forest, he was quite well situated. He was now fully renounced. On one side, he had all the fineries of life, he had everything at his disposal. And now he's on his own, he's doing everything for himself, no servants, no fineries of the palace, just simply living like a mendicant in the forest, sustaining himself on whatever the forest provides, fruits and herbs and roots, whatever is available, he would sustain himself on that. But more important, he was not concerned for sustaining himself, but he was concerned for focusing his mind at the Lordship of the Supreme Lord. So as Bharat Maharaj was continuing in his practice of Krishna consciousness and his dedication, being a first-class Vaishnava, his heart was full of compassion. Although on the one hand, he renounced everything, he became attached to a small baby deer. But unfortunately, the mother of the deer died. And Bharat Maharaj, being a Vaishnava, felt compassion in his heart and mercy in his heart that how can I abandon this living entity who is helpless now. So he took charge of the deer and make sure that the deer is protected from the wild prey, that it doesn't get killed until the point that it can fend for itself. So during this process, while he was taking care of the deer, he became a little attached to the deer. Now his attachment was not of a mundane nature. His attachment was of compassion for this living entity. In the material world, we have attachment for our cats and dogs. You know, sometimes when you go for a walk, you see the owners, they're pampering their dogs and they put all kinds of diamond studded necklaces and some fancy embroidery clothing on the dog. I mean, dog by nature has got wonderful skin to protect itself and hair on his body. And nature does wonderful things for him. But still, the person who owns the dog feels that I have to shower my affection and attachment for the dog. And sometimes when the animal dies, they lament the loss of that animal. But here, Bharat Maharaj, he was not attached to the deer in that sense. He was simply compassionate towards that deer. So while he was walking around in the forest, unfortunately he tripped himself and fell down. And he hit his head on a rock on the ground and started bleeding profusely. And he was in a terrible situation, in an injured state. At this point he was thinking, who will take care of the deer? Because by nature he had that compassion in his heart to take care of everyone's welfare. Because he was trained in the art of welfare for all the citizens in his kingdom. So in the forest, similarly he had that kind of compassion in his heart and he felt that who is going to take care of this deer if I die? And in that moment, he left his body thinking about the deer's needs. So unfortunately he had to take another body and that body was of a deer. Because his consciousness was remembering the deer. So just like Krishna says, yam yam vapi svaram bhavam ate kalevaram. At the end, whatever your consciousness is, whatever you are thinking about, that body you will achieve. So here Bharat Maharaj, who was a Mahabhagat, fully realized his science of self-realization. But still, because of a little compassion in his heart, misdirected towards the deer, he had to take the body of the deer. But since he was a Mahabhagat, he was in a very fortunate position that he could remember his previous life and his previous deeds and the knowledge he had accumulated in the terms of transcendental Krishna conscious knowledge. So even though being in a deer's body, he was fully aware and conscious of his position. So he decided that this time I'm not going to make a mistake. I'm going to be very focused and I'm going to avoid everything. So as a deer, he just went about his deer business of eating and basic needs. But wherever he found saintly groups of sadhus, saintly persons discussing the subject matter of Krishna consciousness, discussing Bhagavatam, he would slowly sneak there and sit down at a distance and attentively hear the transcendental subject matter of Krishna consciousness being discussed by saintly people. And he would be completely absorbed in the Krishna Katha. So he passed his life by hearing Krishna Katha over and over in the deer's body. To the point when he had to give up his deer's body, and the next birth he took as Jat Bharat. So again as Jat Bharat, he could really well remember his previous position. So as Jat Bharat, he decided to be complete renunciate from everything. He was freed from everything. And even to the extent that he would not take a bath, he would just be by himself. And everybody thought that he's a madman. And because generally we see a madman in the street, we try to avoid that person, even in this present situation. You're walking down the road and you find a drunken madman coming towards you. Likelihood is that you'll go to the other side of the street and avoid him. You'll not confront him. So everybody avoided Jat Bharat. To the point when the king was one day going out on his rounds, checking out his kingdom. So he was being carried on his palanquin. And the four people who were carrying the king, one got injured. So the palanquin carriers thought, we must replace this person immediately before we put discomfort to the king. So they saw this very healthy, strong young man, you know, with proper body built, and he could lift the king without any difficulty. So they requested him that, can you assist us in lifting the king? So Jat Bharat, out of his duty to the king, he lifted the palanquin, he was walking. And as he was walking, there were ants on the ground. So every time he saw an ant, he would jump up and down to avoid killing the ants. And the king was having a rough ride. And before the king saw that, who is this madman carrying me? Does he know I'm the king of this empire, an emperor? I'm the emperor of this king, I'm the master here. And this is how you're treating me? So he was a little upset and he started looking at Jat Bharat. And then he started saying some rude words to Jat Bharat. And Jat Bharat just humbly took that in the spirit of tolerance and humility. Then he came to a point that he thought, I was a king once, and my duty as a king was to take care of the welfare of my citizens. And the welfare of my citizens was what? not the daily needs of eating, sleeping, mating, defending, but along with the basic requirements of human necessity, I have to make arrangements for them that they can become Krishna conscious and be free from the cycle of birth, death, old age, disease. They said, he's a king, he's an emperor, but he is misunderstanding his position. Let me correct him. So he started speaking the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam. And before King Rahupanaka, no, he said that this person is not just an ordinary bum, a madman, but he is a highly learned person. And he, as a king, he had that etiquette that he understood the position of Jai Bharat and took shelter of him and heard Srimad Bhagavatam and the instructions from him to how to become perfect. So he got opportunity to perfect himself and also perfect others. Just like Mahaprabhu said, Sartakari karo paro upkar. That you become perfect yourself and then you make others perfect. So Jai Bharat is again showing us by his own personal example that he was perfect in the science of Krishna consciousness, and then also at the same time he made the King Rahugana perfect by giving him the benefit of listening to Srimad Bhagavatam. So our position is very similar, that if we are engaging in Krishna consciousness and at the point of death, somehow if we fail to go back to the spiritual world in this very lifetime, Krishna, out of his compassion, he would give us another chance to carry on. Just like also we see in the story of Ajamil. Ajamil was a first class Brahmin and he performed his Brahminical duties until he went a little wayward because he was somehow influenced by a prostitute, and he gave up his family life and he started setting up his household life with the prostitute with all the morality. But because of his Brahminical upbringing, he named his child Narayan, and at the point of death he was calling out to his son for help. And he started calling out, Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. And his young child came to his aid. But Lord, the Supreme Lord in the Vaikuntha planets was thinking, there is some devotee of mine. He is remembering me at the point of death. I must go and save him. So he sends his Vishnu Dutas to save him. And when Vishnu Dutas come there, already Yamaraj's men were already there, the Yamadutas, with all his power and eagerness to take them back to the hellish planet, because they get enjoyment out of seeing people suffering. That is their nature, because that's why they become Yamadutas and not Vishnu Dutas. So when Yamadutas were ready to yank the body out, the soul out of the body, Vishnu Dutas came and said, hey, stop, what are you doing? You have no jurisdiction over this person. It is our jurisdiction over this person, because at the point of death he was calling out Lord Narayan's name. As the Lord promises in the scriptures, in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, at the point of death, if you remember me, surely you will come to me. So this is the promise of the Supreme Lord. And he was calling Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. So it is our duty to take him back to Narayan. And there was a long discussion between the Vishnu Dutas and Yamadutas. Then they could not resolve the situation. So then Yamadutas went back to Yamaraj and asked him, that, look, these Vishnu Dutas are troubling us from taking this person. What's going on here? And they heard the interaction between the Vishnu Dutas and Yamadutas. So Yamaraj said immediately, okay, enough. We have no jurisdiction over that person because he did chant the names of the Supreme Lord. Although he was sinful in his activities, but he chanted the names of Vishnu. So our jurisdiction is not there. So Prabhupada is explaining the purport of Ajamil's story. That because Ajamil was so sinful in his activities, he was not yet ready to go back to the spiritual world, although he was chanting the names of Lord Narayan. But his good fortune was that due to chanting the names of Narayan, he was able to take darshan of Vishnu Dutas, who are pure devotees of the Lord. And by the mercy and the darshan of a pure devotee, he got a chance to take another birth in a very pious religious family. So in the next birth, he took a birth in a very Brahminical, very spiritual family. And from the age of 5-6, when he began to understand the knowledge, he immediately renounced everything and went to Haridwar on the banks of River Ganga and stayed in a Vishnu temple there and dedicated his entire time to serving Lord Vishnu in that temple till the point when he was fully ready to go back to the spiritual world, and he went back. So our position is very simple, that by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, he has picked us out and plucked us out from the suffering of this material world and given us Krishna consciousness. And He has given us profusely every single activity which we can engage ourselves in Krishna consciousness and have a very happy and very pleasant time in engaging in the devotional practices. And as we are practicing our Krishna conscious duties, purification takes place, and as more and more purification takes place, we develop strong bondage and attachment to the Supreme Lord. Whereas the attachment to the Supreme Lord, and life becomes perfect. But sometimes, even through the perfection, we can see someone like Bharat Maharaj, just because of a little deviation in his situation, he had to take another birth. So our position, we should be careful that we do not fail our trap, because we have to learn from the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. And there is caution for us that although there is an injunction that if you do not complete your Krishna consciousness in this life, then your next life you continue from where you left off. But we should not take a chance. Because I sometimes explain the situation that it is said in the Mahabharata that Yudhishthira Maharaj, being a pure devotee of the Lord, he was constantly serving the Lord and following His direction. But he made one mistake. That on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, when he was asked to lie, that just make a statement to Dronacharya that Aswatthama is dead. So Yudhishthira Maharaj, being Dharmaraj also, the upholder of dharmic principle, said, "I cannot lie." But Krishna is asking him to lie, and he said, "I cannot lie." So Krishna said, "Okay, I will give you another possibility. Just say Aswatthama, the elephant, is dead. But you whisper elephant silently, so the emphasis is placed on Aswatthama rather than the elephant. So you're not lying, because there was an elephant named Aswatthama who was killed in the battle." So Yudhishthira Maharaj said, "Okay, that I can do, because I'm not lying." And Prabhupada explained, he said, simply because of that one instant where he refused to follow the direction of the Supreme Lord, he had to go to hellish planet. On the other hand, he also did some very pious deeds, so he had to go to heavenly planets. So in our situation, when we are executing devotional service, unless and until it is purely engagement of pure devotion, proper experience actually connected to devotion, what devotional service means. The definition of devotional service means, basically Prabhupada gives a nice explanation. This devotional service means it is unalloyed, unmotivated, uncontaminated and pure. So unless and until our service to the Supreme Lord is unalloyed, unmotivated, uncontaminated and pure, then it is not pure devotional service. It is a mixture. So sometimes, because we have developed more of goodness in our heart by the practice of Krishna consciousness, we may do some good deeds, some pious deeds. We try to avoid the sinful activities, but at least we do some pious deeds along the road, which are not considered devotional. So when you accumulate some piety, what happens? At the end of the time, when death approaches you, you have so many bhakti points in your bank, but it is still not full. Quota is not complete. So then you have to take rebirth. And the next rebirth will be, because of your pious deeds, you may end up in some heavenly planet. So for a short period, you will end up in heavenly planet. Now for that short period, actually is relative. You know, just like the story of Lord Brahma, when he steals all the coward boys and cows, when Krishna was playing in Vrindavan, it was only a very moment. But as Brahma, it was just a flicker of an eye. But for Krishna, on this planet, it was 1 year. So it's very relative. So when you take your birth in some heavenly planet, the life expectancy in those heavenly planets is 10,000 years, 100,000 years, 1 million years. It's tremendous longevity of your duration of your life. But suppose, say for example, you take birth in some planet where your life is 10,000 years. So, you give up your devotee body in this life, due to your pious deeds, you end up in some planet where it's 10,000 years. So you're quite happy living in this planet for 10,000 years. Then you come back to this material world to continue from where you left off. And you left off at a certain point, so you start engaging devotional service. But the only thing is, you'll miss out on the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Prabhupada explains, he comes to this world as well as his manifestation incarnation, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda, only once in the day of Brahma. So he has already come. Now next, when he will come, be in the next day of Brahma. So when this day is over, then there will be another night of Brahma. So the night of Brahma is as long as the day of Brahma. The day of Brahma is described 12 hours. And 12 hours of day of Brahma constitutes 1,000 yugas, yuga cycles. Sati yuga, Treta yuga, Dwarpa yuga, Kali yuga. It's one cycle. 1,000 such cycles will constitute one day of Brahma. So there will be a night. So 1,000 yugas of a night. And then Brahma begins his day. And when the next day begins, not necessarily the very first hour of that day, Lord Chaitanya will come. He may come in any one of the Kali Yugas of that day of Brahma. So if you look at time, in time scale, will be millions and millions and millions of years before Lord Chaitanya comes. For our good fortune is that in this present age, at least Prabhupada has made a promise, and his promise is going to be kept by the Supreme Lord. Whatever the pure devotee asks, the Lord has no choice but to grant. And Prabhupada said, for next 10,000 years, this Krishna consciousness movement will take effect, and those who take advantage of this Krishna consciousness will go back to the spiritual world, provided they are fully participating in Krishna consciousness. Just now, I was upstairs reading in about Prabhupada's travels in Australia, and Prabhupada was saying to the devotees, because some of the devotees saying, oh Prabhupada, you know, some devotees are not ready for Krishna consciousness, and you know, they are not quite ready for initiation. Because what happened was, there was an incident that Prabhupada was in Melbourne, and the temple room was full of devotees and guests, and there was initiation ceremony was going to take place. So Prabhupada was sitting in his Vyasasana, ready to perform the initiation ceremony, and then he started calling out the names of the devotees who were recommended for initiation. And after that, he started calling out all the guests who had been there for two or three or four visits to the temple, but they were not quite ready to surrender to the process of Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada initiated everyone in the temple room. So the president and devotees were saying, Prabhupada, but they are not ready. Prabhupada said, we have to take a chance. We have to give them opportunity to take to Krishna consciousness. Simply by participating in this five yagya and at least making a vow, and they may keep to it, they may not keep to it, but at least they have, we will give them a chance to begin their devotional life. So our duty is that while we are engaging in devotional practices, we should try and spread Krishna consciousness to everyone who we meet and begin their spiritual life. That's why Prabhupada was always eager that wherever there is opportunity to distribute books, to distribute prasadam, we must take full opportunity and engage in this service. Thereby, we can get also transcendental bhakti points piling up in our bank, and at the same time, we give other person also a chance to take to Krishna consciousness. And this is the wonderful beauty of Krishna consciousness, that it allows us to progress in our Krishna conscious practice without any difficulty. Although in this verse, there's an injunction that says if you don't finish, you get another chance. But Prabhupada also made a statement, I say, don't wait for another life. Do it in this life. So our practice of Krishna consciousness should be such that we should be so eager to completely engage fully in Krishna service. Because do not lose this rare opportunity. This rare opportunity only comes once in a blue moon. It is described just like that statement by Mahaprabhu. Brahmanya brahmita kono bhagyavanti. Guru Krishna prasade paya bhakti lata bhi. From the highest planet to the lowest planet, who is the fortunate soul who has received the mercy of Guru and Krishna, thereby achieving the seed of devotion in their heart. Also there is another example given, that the chances of a living entity getting Krishna's mercy is like the vast ocean. You know, in a huge ocean, there is a log which is floating on it, and there is a hole in the log. And the chances of a turtle, which is deep down in the ocean, he comes every so often to the surface to take a grasp of air and goes back again down. So what are the chances of that turtle coming out for that grasp of air and putting his head right through the hole in the log? Probably is very highly unlikely. But there is a chance that it can happen. So it's a very, very rare chance. So when we get Krishna consciousness, That rare chance has been granted to us. Because if we look at our own lives, we are not all great saintly persons. Our activities were not quite saintly before we were fortunate enough to receive Krishna's mercy and came to Krishna consciousness. So if you analyze our lives prior to becoming a devotee of the Supreme Lord, it wasn't exactly befitting a great saintly person, for we did not have the pious credit towards us. But when a Vaishnava like Prabhupada, who comes to this material world simply to save the living entities from the material pool, he showers upon us that mercy without any cause, simply out of compassion. And somehow that compassion has come to us and we have received this mercy. We should take this mercy to fully and embrace this mercy and take this opportunity seriously, that I will engage myself fully and completely in devotional practice without a set moment's time which is wasted frivolously. Because every day, if we analyze ourselves, 24 hours in a day, how many hours do we really have that focus in Krishna's remembrance? If you do your own accounts every evening before you go to sleep, you open up your little account book and you make an account. Then I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and then I took a shower, and I did this, I did the Mangalati, I did Japa, Tulsi Puja, this. Then you make an account of how much time did you spend in remembering Krishna, or glorification of Krishna, or preaching about Krishna consciousness. And how much time you wasted doing nothing or mundane activities non-related to Krishna consciousness. You'll find that greater part of your day is spent without the thought of Krishna. So then, one must think very carefully that I wasted so much time. Tomorrow I should do a little better. I must be more conscious and aware how I use my time, how I utilize my time. And more we are conscious and aware of that, then we'll come to a point that we will be so free from all these other activities, that our mind is so trained that automatically 24 hours a day you can think of Krishna. To the point that even if you see something mundane, you will see Krishna in that. And give you one example. Prabhupada was walking in New York City for his morning walk around 7 o'clock. And 7 o'clock is peak time for everyone rushing out in the little cars, rushing to work madlessly and aimlessly. So Prabhupada is walking with his walking stick. Of course, New York City, there is not much parks. So unfortunately, he had to walk on the sidewalk. As Prabhupada is walking with a group of devotees, some devotees made a comment to Prabhupada. He said, "Prabhupada, there's so much noise and pollution here. Don't you think you miss your Vrindavan?" So Prabhupada gave them a description of Vrindavan. Vrindavan is so very peaceful, very quiet. Early in the morning when you wake up at the sunrise, you hear the peacocks singing, and the birds are chirping away, and the dawn is just breaking. And it's such a wonderful mode of goodness atmosphere that, you know, it is very blissful to be in. Compared to New York City, you know, downtown Manhattan, when all the cars are polluting so much gasoline, carbon monoxide, hooting away, and engine noise, and all kinds of noise going on. So Prabhupada was very blissfully walking in this thing and said, "No, I am in Vrindavan. This is Vrindavan." So Prabhupada's consciousness never left Vrindavan. Although he may be in any part of the world, still he's so immersed in Vrindavan that he sees nothing but Vrindavan. And you and me, we will not say Vrindavan in New York downtown. You know, we see just mundane activity. But Prabhupada's transcendental vision was such that he was not affected by the externals. Because inside, internally, he was completely absorbed in Vrindavan. So by proper practice of Krishna consciousness, we can also come to that platform where we can be fully absorbed in Krishna. And day and night, we can think about Krishna and nothing else. And when we come to that point, we have reached perfection. That perfection is possible, it is not impossible. Nothing is impossible for us in this material world. Everything is possible, only it takes a little endeavor and proper fixation of your mind and consciousness. As I explained in the morning, the mind is very abstinent. It can wander all over the place any time. But we have to learn how to bring it back again and focus in Krishna's meditation. And once we learn how to do that, then the mind becomes subservient to you, and he will then assist you in your Krishna conscious practice. So we have to learn from the teachings of Bhagavad Gita how to perfect our lives in Krishna consciousness. Because Prabhupada says that this Bhagavad Gita is actually a manual which is accompanying a human birth. That when a human being takes birth, you get this manual along with it. It shows you how the human body should work and how this machine should be utilized for perfection. Just like, you know, you may buy some camera or some equipment, you get a manufacturer's manual with it, how to perfectly operate that equipment. So the Lord, the Supreme Lord has also given us the manual which comes along with the body. And unfortunately, we think ourselves so intelligent that we discard the manual, say, I can do things myself. Many times we see, we buy some new equipment, and instead of following the instructions of the manual, we start messing around with it, pressing this button, that button, thinking, oh, I can figure it out. Because we're thinking we are so smart. But before you know it, you get in trouble and you get all sorts of complications. Then you realize, oh, then you go back to the manual. Then you start following the manual, and then you read the manual. It may seem very boring, very, very mundane in some of the instructions, you know, but they are there to assist you that you do not get into any complications. So similarly, Bhagavad Gita is the manual of human being. That unless and until we follow this manual, our lives will become complicated. And the more complicated our lives becomes, the more entangled we become, then it becomes one miserable journey in this life. So in order to make our journey from birth to death and into the spiritual world, Krishna is giving us perfect guidelines and guidance of how to become perfect, simply following the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. There's no complications. And Prabhupada said, if you follow very nicely the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, your life becomes very perfect because you do not lose anything, but you gain everything. And this is the highest teachings one can have. So this is available to every one of us. And somehow, I always mention this, that we are here because somehow Krishna has smiled upon us. He has given this opportunity to us. We must fully embrace this opportunity and don't lose it. Otherwise, it will be the greatest loss one can have. At least for those who don't have, there is nothing for them to lose. But for those who have, if they lose, then it is the greatest loss. This is a very priceless gem which is given to us. So we should not be foolish and lose it. So I will stop here. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.
Anybody has any comments, any questions, feel free.
First of all, my position is that of a fallen soul. Every morning we pray in the Shikshashtakam that we want to take our birth in the service of Lishan, the fourth text. And I for myself, I always will come the next 10,000 years. It's my meditation to come here again and again to practice for myself Krishna consciousness and try to give it also to others. But I don't think that I will reach after this life real Krishna, deep Krishna consciousness. And like I was stating, I made a statement, afterwards in the next body I will be maybe going to the heavenly planets, and then I miss completely the opportunity to engage again in the next 10,000 years here on planet Earth in this service. So is it really like this, or is there some chance that I can pray to Krishna, that I can come again in a human life if I'm not able to go in the spiritual world?
No. Prabhupada, one time one devotee, Prabhupada was giving darshan, and Prabhupada said to his assembled devotees, so, anybody has any questions? And one devotee, he thought, I'm very intelligent. You know, let me ask very nice questions, so Prabhupada will actually see that I am very intelligent. And he wanted to show Prabhupada that I have knowledge now. So he said, Prabhupada, actually I like to come back, birth after birth after birth in this material world, and engage in Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada, you know, looked at him and he frowned with his deep eyes and left his eye from the stop. No, your business is to go back home this very lifetime. So, the sentiments are there that you would like to come back, but how you want to come back is that first of all, we have to be serious in our Krishna conscious practice to be free from this bondage and go back to the spiritual world. Once we are in the spiritual world, then Krishna says, you, I want you to go and do some service for me. I'm sending you to this universe or that universe, you go and do. So when you come as an ambassador of Krishna to do some act, then he will protect you from all fall downs. There's no question of falling down. That is why we call, like, we address Prabhupada as Vaikuntha man or Bhaktisiddhanta as Vaikuntha man. They were not ordinary people. They were actually sent by the Supreme Lord to assist him in his missionary work, so that living entities can be salvaged from the fallen state and bring them back home, back to Godhead. So the sentiment should be that we don't mind coming back to this material world life after life after life, only under the direction and guidance of the Supreme Lord himself, but not on our own mental speculation that I am so pure now that I want to come back again and I want to do more service for the Lord. We'll never do it because we are already struggling this present life to come to that highest perfection. What is the chance in next life? So the real understanding is that Prabhupada said, no, we have to go back to this very lifetime. So we have to prepare ourselves. And sometimes it seems that it is very difficult to become an ideal perfect devotee. Because when we read descriptions of perfect devotees in the scriptures, it is very highly unlikely that we could come to that level. But it is not impossible if we make an endeavor. Krishna says, just make your endeavor. Don't worry about the rest. You just do your duty and be fixed. Be resolute in purpose. Eka Kuru Nandan, he said, be resolute in purpose. That's all. And with our sincerity, with our determination, we are fully focused, then Krishna will see that this person is trying his level best to come up to the highest stage. And as Krishna says again in the Bhagavad also, for those who are fully engaged, and when they, what's that verse? Those who lack something, I carry, and what they have, I preserve. So Krishna will preserve whatever you're offering in terms of devotional service. And whatever you lack, he will carry, and he will make up to the 100% perfection. But that only comes when Krishna actually sees that you are actually making sincere effort. Not that you'll say, well, Krishna is saying, you know, whatever I don't have, Krishna will carry and I'll be quite okay. So I'll be complacent in my practices because Krishna is going to fulfill it anyway. No, Krishna is not going to fulfill. Krishna will only fulfill one who is fully determined and he sees he's doing his level best. Just like that story of the little bird trying to retrieve its eggs from the ocean. And he said, come what may, I'm determined. Now, anybody with little intelligence would know, a little bird with a beak full of water, how he can empty the ocean? It's impossible. But he was determined to do that. And when Garuda saw the determination, he said, okay, move aside, I'll retrieve your eggs. So Garuda warned the ocean, you give the eggs back or else I'll dry you up. And the personification of the ocean understood, Garuda is not an ordinary bird. You know, with one beak full, he can empty me out. So immediately he gave. So in that story, you can see that because the tiny bird was full of determination, although it seemed an impossible task, it wanted to do it, Garuda came to his aid. So similarly, when we are trying to climb this huge mountain of materialism and complete, deep down, we are so much entangled in this material world, that somehow we have come to the surface to at least taste the nectar of Krishna consciousness, engage in Krishna consciousness. And by the instructions, we have Prabhupada said, all you have to do is simply follow my instructions. That's all. There's no complication. Simply have faith and follow the instructions. So Prabhupada has made it so simple for us. We just have to be fully determined in following Prabhupada's guidance and instructions as per his instructions in the scriptures he's given, his Bhaktivinoda purpose. And everything is perfect. And then at the end, Krishna will definitely come to your aid. But if you think that because this promise is there, that whatever I lack, it will be carried by the Lord, so I'll be a little easygoing, I'll be complacent, then Krishna is not going to come to your assistance. He will only come when you're fully determined. And the determination should be seen in our acts, that we try our level best. No matter how hard it is, we keep trying. We keep trying and attempting. We fail first time, we try again and again and again. We keep doing it. And then Krishna will see that this person is trying so hard. Krishna blesses you and then he makes you perfect. So that is our position, that we do not give up our determination and our faith in the process. And as I gave example last time, right, about two young boys, Prahlad and Dhruva Maharaj, 5-year-old boys, not fully grown up mature people, but just young kids. Prahlad had complete implicit faith in the holy name of the Lord. He never gave up the faith in chanting the holy names, even though his powerful father was going to come and destroy him. He says, it doesn't matter. I have faith in the Lord. I will never give up chanting. And Dhruva Maharaj, he wanted to see the Lord face to face. He said, come what may difficulties in my path. I am going to make sure I get the darshan of the Supreme Lord. His determination was fixed. And because his determination was there, he was successful and the Lord had to come and give him audience. Prahlad Maharaj, his faith was implicit, unshakable. When the final sword came out to cut his head off, Narsingadeva just pulled the pillar apart and appeared. He said, okay, don't touch my boy. And he ripped apart Hiranyakashipu. So we must have complete faith and determination in this process of Krishna consciousness. And our lives become perfect. Because when we are full of determination and faith, then the Supreme Lord will assist us at every step. We, with our own strength, we cannot do it. But we have to submit ourselves to the Supreme Lord. That, dear Lord, you take charge of me. I have come to you. I am a soul surrendered to you. Just like Arjuna is saying, I am a soul surrendered to you. You are my master. Whatever you say, I will do it now. So we have to be in that position. Simply surrender to the Supreme Lord. So whatever you say, whatever you tell me to do, I will just do it. And success comes automatically. Although from a material point of view, it may seem impossible. From Krishna's point of view, nothing is impossible. So we simply have to be fixed.
What's about when in my next life I have to go to the heavenly planets, I completely miss the opportunity to get the mercy of Gauranga. For myself, I'm thinking now, maybe then for me it's better at nearly the end of my life to start some passionate activities that I can take a birth as a man, a human form again, and in the next life maybe.
Yeah, if you come back as a human form in this life, it may not be possible that you will see Gauranga Mahaprabhu, even though.
Not personally so, but I have again the opportunity to be here and then have a full lifetime for Krishna.
What guarantee is there that next life, when you have a full life, you'll become Krishna conscious? If you cannot become Krishna conscious in this life, then what chances are next life? Because what you are facing, the struggles of material world in this life, all the lurement of all the material sense enjoyment in this life, which is making us difficult to become perfect in Krishna consciousness, it will be the same in the next life. So what guarantee is that in the next life it will be any better?
No guarantee, but I have a lot more bhakti coins, and it's not so far to go then.
No. You see, there's a saying in English. So near and yet so far. So you'll be almost there, but it will be seen miles away. So that is why think about next life? Pray to Mahaprabhu this life. Mahaprabhu, I have come. Come what may. Even if you don't like, I have come. You must accept me. You have no choice. You have to be very forceful to Krishna. And Krishna, you have to accept me. You have no choice. I have come to you. You are promising in the Bhagavad Gita. I have come to you. Now you have to take care of me. You have no choice.
I was never thinking about the next life till yet. When you are saying that maybe I become the heavenly planet, because I am thinking now about it, because I don't want to miss the opportunity to...
So we should not even worry about next life. We should say, this very lifetime, and not this very lifetime, if my good fortune is when Krishna comes and says, this second, I'll go this second. I don't say, well, I'm only 50 years old, I got another 30 years left, or maybe 25 years left, so give me a break, take me after that. No, I'll go now. If Krishna allows me, I'll go now. But somehow he's not allowing me to go, so I said, okay, I'll carry on with my devotional practice until he allows me to go back. So we should be so determined our Krishna consciousness in this present life, and make it perfect. And we have to be very forceful to the Lord in our prayers, that come what may, I have come to you. You say in your Bhagavad Gita that my devotee shall never perish. And who is that saying? Arjuna is saying. Why Arjuna is saying? Because Krishna says, I may not keep my promise, but because you have made the promise, I will fulfill it. So Prabhupada has made that promise to all his devotees who come to Krishna consciousness. You come to this Krishna consciousness, you're going back to Gauranga.
Yeah, but does it mean the highest level of Krishna consciousness?
We don't have to worry about that. You want to make a comment?
I mean, just want to mention, if someone is really serious, have to take a child of the spiritual master will take care. You know, even if you have to take a birth again, it may well be in the life of the family. I mean, if you, please correct me, but the destination of the heavenly planet is for those who are too much in enjoying spirits, and that's why they get the body of the demigods.
Not necessarily, because Yudhishthira Maharaj was very fixed in Krishna. He was totally fixed. He was an associate of Krishna. But Prabhupada mentioned that because he was not prepared to follow Krishna's one instruction, for that one lapse, he had to go to hell's planet. Although he was an associate of Krishna. And see, when Krishna comes to do his pastimes, he doesn't allow any riffraffs to be amongst his associates. Only the purest of pure devotees are sent down to take different births in different positions. And then Krishna comes and then he participates and has wonderful, you know, exchange relationship with all his devotees. You know. So, Prabhupada is mentioning that even Yudhishthira Maharaj, because of that one lapse, he had to go to hellish planet. So my point I'm trying to make is that while we are engaging in devotional service, just like Bharat Maharaj, his Prabhupada mentioned the purpose, Bharat Maharaj was Mahabharat. He wasn't an ordinary person, he was fully knowledge in the science of Krishna consciousness. But because he was a perfect Vaishnava, he had compassion for the deer, felt, I should take care of it, because that compassion nature is always there, you know, you cannot separate yourself from compassion as a Vaishnava. So because of that, he, at the point of death, he was saying, who's going to take care of the deer? And that instant, he had to take another birth. But his good fortune was that even in the deer's body, he could remember everything. Yeah. The chances are for us, if we take another body, even if it's a deer, we are not going to remember, because our pious credits are not as good as Bharat Maharaj's. So what I'm saying is that this day and age, this present situation, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come. He's known as Patita Pavana. He has come to save the most fallen. He's not come to save the most exalted. You see? He's come to save the most fallen. And Prabhupada gives an ideal example of Jagai and Madai, who are debauched and really low class people. And by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, you know, Mahaprabhu is ready to kill them. And Nityananda Prabhu said, Prabhu, Mahaprabhu, no, don't kill them. You have come to deliver these fallen souls. Please deliver them. And Mahaprabhu blessed them. And instantly they become acharyas, perfect exponents of Krishna consciousness. They started going everywhere and preaching Krishna consciousness. Jagai and Madai, they were delivered. So similarly, Mahaprabhu is showing the same compassion to us. Because that is why he is known as Patita Pavana. Tava Avatar, we sing that bhajan, you know. So Mahaprabhu is there. We simply have to be in that shelter and not leave that shelter. Come what may. And as long as you are in that shelter, you'll make it to the spiritual world. Prabhupada explains actually that those who come to Krishna consciousness, especially this institution which Prabhupada has set up as a transcendental body, which Prabhupada described as a transcendental boat going all the way to the spiritual world. And everybody who comes to Krishna consciousness gets the passageway to stay in that boat. And as long as you are a passenger in that boat, whether you are in the third class section or first class section, or in the captain's private cabin, the boat is still going back to Godhead. So you may say, I am not perfectly situated in my devotion, but you are still on the boat by the mercy of Guru and Gauranga. So that boat is going to the spiritual world. So you will end up in the spiritual world, no doubt, by the causeless mercy of Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Sri Prabhupada. Then when Prabhupada was giving this example, one devotee asked Prabhupada, and said, Prabhupada, if everybody is traveling this transcendental boat, then how come sometimes we find some devotees, they have fall downs, and they give up Krishna consciousness? The Prabhupada says, simply because they are not following the order of the captain. So we see in our material situation here, that there are so many cruise ships taking cruise everywhere. And sometimes in the ocean or in the Mediterranean Sea, when they are crossing around vast body of water, due to some weather turbulence and storm, the sea becomes very rough. So at that point, the captain would announce certain instructions of caution. And he would say on his general system, announcing to all the passengers, please remain in your cabin until further notice. So nowadays, when we are flying, and there's turbulence in the air, and the pilot immediately says, we are going to experience some turbulence, please kindly go back to your seats and fasten your seat belts. Now, you're not going to fall out of the plane because there's no windows open that you're going to fall out. But still, the captain, out of duty, he knows how to control the situation. So he gives instructions to the passengers who are traveling on that plane. Or in the case of the cruise, the captain of the ship would tell exactly what to do. But you are thinking, out of curiosity, maybe let me go and check it out, what's up there. So then, you know, you go on top and you look out and you're standing up there and looking at the seas. Very wild, and the waves are coming up. Wow, this majestic waves. And you're so curious about the whole thing. Before you know it, boom, you're overboard. And then there's an announcement, men overboard. Chances are, because of the violent storm, you're not going to be saved. Very difficult. But simply those passengers who follow the instructions of the captain, they remain in the cabin, and once the storm is passed and the calm water comes, captain announced, now you are all free to wander around. Please do it at your leisure, however you feel. Take full advantage of all the offerings we have on this cruise ship. So the passengers come out, they go to the nightclub, disco dance, and do all these things. So our transcendental boat is also going to the spiritual world. And we also have many transcendental activities in our boat to participate, you know, puja, kirtan, going on theatre processions, festivals, book distribution, prasadam distribution. We have many activities. But our boat is not confined to a small limitation. It is the whole world. And Prabhupada said, this Krishna conscious boat is so transcendental that it has got many points of entry. Wherever there is an ISKCON center or a preaching center, that is the entry. And as soon as you come to that address, you get entrance into the ship. And you are already a passenger of the ship. Now, since you're a passenger on the ship, all you've got to do is remain on the ship. And to remain on the ship, you simply follow the instructions of Sri Guru and Gauranga, and your life becomes perfect. Without any complication. It's very simple. But unfortunately, because we are thinking intellectually that there must be something more to this process, you know, and we try to find out all these different knowledges and understanding that will become, you know, gopi bhavas and hear some sabda brahma from some realized soul, all of a sudden your heart will be full of gopi bhava and ecstasy and worship. What happens to these kind of people? Very soon you find they are entangled even worse and worse, and they fall down. But those are simple devotees, simply following the instructions, their life is perfect. And as the body is going back to the spiritual world, we all end up in the spiritual world. So Prabhupada's advice is simply remain on this transcendental boat of Krishna consciousness and participate in all the programs which are set aside to engage us in the service of the Supreme Lord, and we become perfect. Okay, I think it's 9 o'clock. We'll stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Radhe Radhe.